Good evening, and welcome to Acting Up. I'm Meredy.
And I'm Russ, and I am excited.
Me too!
Because tonight we are doing full scenes.
Woo!
It is the culmination of everything we've worked on, the climax of the season.
You know, this isn't the finale, right?
Maybe we can have multiple climaxes.
Maybe you can find a better way of saying that. This is supposed to be a family show.
What I mean to say...
Tonight, our contestants will be performing fully appropriate scenes from shows that Russ and I have already written and produced and are fully under the rating of R and will be PG-13 or lower. Yes, that's exactly...
Right. We gave them the option of listening to the original productions or not in case they wanted to use them to get ideas.
And we expected them to send in multiple takes, and if they got them in early enough, we offered direction and gave them the chance to redo some of their lines.
So, we'll be looking for the usual good energy, diction, emotional interpretation.
So, first up, we have a scene from Dreamcatcher, Episode 2. This is a scene between Ashley and Susan, Ashley being played by Leave Me Alone, and Susan being played by Lex the Archer. And some backstory before we start. Ashley has just returned from a bewildering trip into what is known as the Dreamscapes. This is a realm where dreams are real and tangible and influenced by a person's imagination. She was taken there by Gabriel, who is an Oneirnot, or a dream guide who resides in that realm. So upon coming back from the dreamscapes, Ashley woke up with Gabriel nowhere to be found, so she went home. And this is her returning home.
Hello?
Hey, Chica. You're back.
Yeah, sorry for being so late, Susan.
No worries. How was your day?
Yes.
That bad, huh?
Just kinda weird.
How so?
Well, first, Ned got into a hissy fit and threatened to have me fired again. Then, this really weird guy showed up and told him off.
Oh, do tell.
Nothing like that. Just kinda showed up out of nowhere. And then afterward, he...
Yeah?
Never mind.
What do you mean, never mind? Tell me.
Well, afterward he left and I got distracted by the pet store on the way home. Yeah.
Huh. Doesn't seem that weird to me.
Yeah, I guess it just felt weird for some reason. There's no way I can tell Susan what really happened this afternoon. Not only would she freak... She'd probably call the crazy house to take me away.
So, when were you going to tell us you're going crazy?
What? Huh?
joking. But seriously, why didn't you tell me you're going in for counseling? You know you can always talk to me about stuff going on, right? I mean, a $4 coffee is a much cheaper price for discussion than whatever you're paying now. Of course, if that guy was my psychiatrist, I'd pay to see him too. Your psychiatrist, Mr. Tall, Dark, and Handsome? Or is it you don't want to share?
Susan, what the heck are you talking about?
Your psychiatrist? He's in the other room. Said he's making a house call.
You!
Hello.
No.
Sorry, no
you.
What?
How did you...
And again, your grasp of the English language is astonishing. Here, you drop this.
My wallet!
You know, you really shouldn't be leaving your stuff lying around in back alleyways. It's not safe.
You stole my wallet?
More like you dropped it after you ran off. You're welcome, by the way.
I ran off? You left me behind!
Really? Huh. Oh well. Que será, será. Moving on.
Excuse me? No, there is no moving on here. First, you drag me kicking and screaming through some other dimension that I still don't even know exist. You nearly get me killed. Twice. then you steal my wallet and follow me home? What the hell is wrong with you?
Actually, if memory serves, you were the one who...
Just shut up already, you stalker!
You know, if you just let me explain instead of ranting your head off,
I don't want to hear it. You're crazy!
Huh. Now who's being unreasonable?
Susan, quit it. You don't even know what... Popcorn? Seriously?
Yep. I have no idea what's going on, but it's entertaining as hell. I haven't seen you get this riled up in ages.
Susan?
Could I have some?
Sure.
What? Huh? Susan? And you? What are you? Hey! Get back here!
Thank you.
No problem. What's your name again?
Gabriel.
Ah, Gabriel. You're not exactly a psychiatrist, are you?
More of a dream therapist.
Right. Mind explaining what's going on?
In a second. Why, are you gonna call the cops?
Hon, if Ashley really thought you were a threat, she would have called herself by now and be screaming bloody murder.
You guys are hopeless! Ridiculous!
Okay, this was a fun scene to listen to. Lex, I really liked the natural sound you had for this scene. You had a nice range of emotions, good character energy, a very believable character. You had some really nice humor. I loved the improvisations, the woo on I'd Bet to See Him Too, and the laugh on Entertaining as Hell. You did that kind of thing well throughout. If I have anything to criticize, just one thing that just bothered me as a sort of little pet peeve was your phrase, tall, dark, and handsome. It's just because the phrase is so usually without the emphasis on it, just tall, dark, and handsome. Unless, of course, it was specifically an emphasis on it, you know, just trying to emphasize the handsome bit. It just bothered me a little bit. I don't have too much else to say about you. I think you did a nice job. Leave me alone. The biggest problem I had, and this is one I heard from the beginning, was for some reason you seemed to go into an anime voice, which really feels wrong for this kind of scene. And I went back and listened to some of your previous recordings. You don't have to talk that way. It's not like this is the only way you can talk. You are capable of doing a more realistic, a stronger voice, and I really wish you had done that for this one, because I think it undermined a lot of your performance. Your reactions were generally good, but again, sometimes they tended to the overacting anime, which took away a lot from it. You had some very nice energy in your confrontation with Gabriel. A little. You could have done maybe a little bit more intensity wise. So for example, on your line, "No, I don't want to hear it." I thought it was a little bit slow paced for that. It was "No, I don't want to hear it," as opposed to "No, I don't want to hear it," which would have been more confrontational. That's all I have to say, Meredy.
Cool. I do want to make one quick note before making a critique. I know, I've forgotten everybody's name. I'm probably just going to say Ashley and Susan, because this is my audio drama, and that's how I think of everybody, whoever plays the part. Line 27, Ashley, I accidentally cut your line short, so I just want to apologize. That was in the mixing. I wasn't paying attention, and I accidentally cut it in half. But it was all just, no, 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 no. So hopefully you won't take too much offense to that. Susan, very nice interaction.
This
very
is Lex.
Lex, thank you. Lex, as Susan, very nice, natural interaction. I could tell that you read through the parts. You're able to anticipate the next person's line and how they're going to react, and made your lines fit with the rest very smoothly. It was a very, very nice meshing, and it was just nice to listen to you. You sounded very natural and pleasant. I think you fit very nicely in this role, so it was great to hear. I also want to point out what Russ said about the improvisation. Thank you very much. I did get, this goes to both actors, I did get roughly 3 takes on each line from each of them, and they did both did a great job with labeling the lines properly, sending them in the way I asked. When Lex did the improv, she did give me at least 1 take of the original way I had written it. I just chose to pick the improv because it sounded, you know, I liked what she had done better than what I had written. So very nice. Let's see. Ashley, leave me alone. I'm echoing what Russ already said. It felt like that your performance was a little out of age, the voice was a little bit out of age or a little bit inappropriate for the age that I'd written. I've had this since 22. I was really just looking for your actual natural voice. That's why I didn't put any specific descriptions of like how I wanted your voice to be pitched or sound, because I was looking for you. And unfortunately, it did sound more like an anime character. And it sounded... It almost sounded like, I know this was done at the last minute, but it sounded like you were very, very close to the mic and trying not to yell or talk too loudly, which compressed all of your reactions, if that makes sense, or compressed it. So even though when you got really loud, it was very, you got very upset, it was very airy sounding, and it wasn't full and natural sounding, like you haven't done in previous performances. As a mixer, there'd be a serious problem with the sound because with the noise in the background. I don't know if there was something going on, but it was really hard to work around. I did want to say, thank you very much for noticing a little trick I threw in there. Leave me alone. When I write my scripts, I have what are called audibles, what I call audio audibles, where, and Russ knows this, parts of like the descriptive paragraph where I just want you to make sounds reactive sounds to like physical movement going on, or maybe some sort of improv that isn't really heard but it's going to be done in the background and you want to have some sort of noise, and you caught it at Ashley line 49. It was in bold and I wrote in parentheses ad lib, and you did it. And it was great. And it was very cute. I put it under Susan and Gabriel's talk back and forth. I'm sorry it wasn't longer. I would have loved to do it longer during that scene. But it was very cute. So thank you very much for doing that. So definitely give you props on that one. Only thing I'll say about the pacing on the whole is that it was hard for me as a mixer not to go in and cut out some of the slow gaps. What I probably could have done was just cut out some of the silence in between lines and make the performances a little quicker.
Yes, that's something that we often do in mixing. And just because we want to change the pace, we took as a rule for this episode that we were not going to edit within the lines.
Yeah. But keep in mind, sometimes when you, and this is something you just learn over time, so this goes for both of you, when you do dialogues and you have long chunks of talking with another character, sometimes when you're sitting down recording by yourself, you don't realize that what sounds like a natural pace sometimes needs to be faster. So just try to be aware of that, maybe go back and listen to your lines through real quick and see, does it feel like it's really slow that I'm reacting to this? How fast do I think the other person's talking, etc.? That's just a little tip there. I don't know if you've run into that, Russ, but...
This is one of the reasons that I've always encouraged people, and have done it myself, whenever possible, to actually try going on Skype and rehearsing the lines mm-hmm. with your scene partners. Mm-hmm. Because that way you can get a feel for what kind of pacing will work best.
Cool. Otherwise, nice job.
Yep. Okay. So we can move on now to the next scene. And this is one from a radio play I did called Misfile, which is an adaptation of the webcomic of the same name. And to understand the scene, I'm going to give you the setup that I sent to the actors. Remesiel is a delinquent, pot-smoking angel who has messed up the realities of our lead characters, Ash Upton and Emily MacArthur. Before, Ash was a 17-year-old boy who lived only for street racing, and Emily was a senior, high school senior, who had just received her college acceptance from Harvard. Thanks to Remesiel, Ash is now a 17-year-old girl street racer, and Emily is a sophomore who still needs 2 more years of high school before she can even apply to college. In the first episode, this is the second one, in the first episode, Remesiel introduced himself and apologized and promised to see what he could do to fix things, but it's a bit tough since his pot smoking got him kicked out of heaven, so he no longer has access to the reality files. At the start of this episode, Ash went to race and lost because she wasn't used to her new body, and Emily got into a big fight with her mother and is asked to spend the night. Being a gentleman, Ash let her have the bed while she slept on the living room couch. Ash is just waking up at the start of this scene.
Please be a dream. Please be a dream. Please be a dream. Damn it!
What's that smell?
Bacon. Boys like bacon, right? I warn you though, as a girl, it'll go straight to your hips. Oh, wind, I changed your sheets.
You didn't have to do that.
No, I had to. I changed them before I went to bed. They were sweaty and gross. I guess even as a girl, your feminine tidiness never really expressed itself.
Well, at least since it's a girl's room now, you didn't have to stumble across the porn mags that were under my bed until yesterday.
Actually, I did. Long and hard. Dirty mechanics. Yowie heaven. You dirty girl.
Okay, those are going in the trash today. Ick. Ick! I don't even want to think about what thoughts went through Girl Me's mind when looking at that junk.
So what now?
We wait for Remesiel. I spend my day dreading going to school tomorrow, and if this doesn't get fixed soon, I go mad and spend the rest of my life in an asylum.
Or you could get gender reassignment surgery.
Remesiel, you'd better be working your ass off big time.
Where are you going?
I need to work on my car.
Around. I know there are places you'd rather be.
Gee, thank you for breakfast, Emily.
Oh, yeah. Thanks.
I don't want to go home yet. My head is still spinning. I want to talk.
What is it with girls and talking? Can't you just keep your insecurities bottled up until you have to whip the crap out of someone like guys do? Ouch! Damn it!
What's wrong?
How the hell do you keep these things from getting in the way? Seriously. It's not funny. That hurt.
You know, you could try bra. There are a few in your room, running the gamut from practical to spicy.
No way. I'm already going to have to wear girl panties since this is my last pair of boxers or pajamas or whatever. But a bra is a step too far.
Are you sure? Because it's a little cold out here and you're kind of half into your t-shirt. Oh yeah, the boys at school are gonna love you.
Well, I suppose. Not like I really have a choice, is it?
Need help?
No, you just wait out here.
Okay. I'll just, Ash? Ash, are you okay in there?
I'm not coming out! It's too embarrassing!
Get used to it. It'll be worse than gym tomorrow.
I can't work the clasp.
You've never had a girlfriend, have you?
That's none of your business.
Clasp in the front, then spin it around and put your arms through. There, see?
You know what's sick? If I wasn't so disgusted that that's me in the mirror, I'd be pretty turned on right now. Okay, back to work.
What are you doing? Compensating. If I mess with my pedals and move them closer together, my tiny girl feet will still be able to pound them correctly. Besides, the more I work, the easier it is to keep my mind off things.
I know what you mean. Can I help? You know, just to keep my mind off things.
Do you know anything about cars?
Well, the right pedal is the gas and the left one's the brake. I think your car has a third pedal, though.
Just hold this light and try not to touch anything.
Misfile with 11 Linda and Skywish. I really like this. Both performances I thought were very natural. I think you both of you girls did a wonderful job with this. I like how 11 Linda, your character of Emily, sounds pretty cheeky, pretty nice and pleasant. Ash has got a lot of frustration and confusion going on, and I think both of you took those character aspects and represented them very well. Both of you had a nice emotional range, expression and reaction to things around you. You caught on to the humorous parts of the script. It sounded like maybe you guys even met ahead of time on Skype and recorded or in a practice together, because you meshed together very, very well. This was a very solid performance. I went back and I listened to it again just for the heck of it, because I enjoyed listening to it that much. I really don't have much to say about this. Russ?
Okay. I'm going to agree. Overall, it's a very nice performance from both of you. Skywish, there are some places where I think your energy might have been a little bit stronger, but I think I'm going to take some blame for that. I went back and looked at my summary for you, and I realized I hadn't mentioned that the misfile that turned you from a boy into a girl had happened just the previous day. And that as a result, you probably would have been like just one step short of freaking out. So had I done so, I think I might have got a little more energy from some of those places. So most of what I'm going to have is going to be just kind of picky things. Like on the line, "What's that smell?" The script called for you to sniff, which you forgot to do. And the context implies that it's a good smell, but the takes I got from you range from neutral, which is what I wound up using, rather than pleased, all the way to disgusted, which made me think you didn't really get what was going on there. And I was a little annoyed by the spit take, which should have been... I'm not sure the description is one everybody uses, but it's like when you're... It's standard comic moment. You've got your mouth full, and then somebody says something that startles you, and you... And what I got from you were a couple of eeps and a raspberry, which didn't quite give the feel I wanted. I would have liked a little more intensity on the you better be working your ass off big time. And then later on, when Emily asks you, "You never had a girlfriend," that's none of your business could have been a little bigger. I liked the stress you put in your voice on the said, "I need to work on my car," because it showed that even though it didn't always come out, that right there, it was clearly there, and then the working on the car was how you deal with stress. Overall, as I said, really nice. I think you were a little pressed for time because you submitted kind of last minute, so I didn't get a chance to ask for retakes. But overall, they probably didn't need him for too many of them. 11 Ashley. First of all, she did submit 3 takes for each line, and she got them in early enough that I had time to ask for some retakes, which was very helpful. The attitude in general was nice, teasing, a little bit going back and forth between the teasing Ash over reacting as she might to a boy, and at other times a little bit of stress of her own because of what's happened to her. There were a few places where your pacing was slow. If you listened to the comments that Meredith did in the last scene, the same kind of thing applies. It's very easy to get into that habit where you don't realize that the pacing ought to be a bit faster. You had a nice laugh as Emily. I think you used it a little too much. Fortunately, you gave me takes. And almost every time you did that, you gave me takes where you didn't have it. So if it didn't work, I didn't have to use it. A little picky thing on one of your last lines. Your last line that has a third pedal. I was really hoping for the emphasis on the word third. Also, a technical thing. You left a long pause at the beginning of every recording, and I realized as I was going through and skipping over those parts that I had told you that rather than doing effects on your recordings, you should just leave a pause at the beginning. Makes it easier for the mixer to pick up the room tone. But you don't actually have to do that on each and every line if you're doing a separate line per file. You really only do that like once per recording session. But, you know, this is just interaction with a mixer type stuff. The performance was good. And in all cases, pretty much, you gave me at least one good enough performance, and which is, again, one of the advantages of doing the multiple takes. So, good job.
Woo!